Okay, we are back at our Alloway Village Board Budget Workshop meeting.
Any sort of questions from Chris's budget?
Well, so the biggest thing there is the wages and health benefits, and the health benefits is the biggest.
Correct. A couple other highlights from my realm, I guess. You know, we talked about the fire suppression system here for Village Hall.
Can that be put off?
We're utilizing funds that that we have saved up for, you know, we had done over the years. We had put monies aside for AC and other equipment replacements. So we're utilizing those funds. Could it be put off? Sure, it could. But at some point, we need to take care of it.
But that doesn't, if it's in the fund, it doesn't help our budget this year.
It's not going to affect the levy,
right?
Because we're basically applying fund balance.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4 more sprinkler heads give way to out in the hallway, one in the judge's chambers, one in the storage room. It's a mess.
And that can be a huge mess to clean up. Oh my goodness. Did it ruin any files in the office?
No, luckily it was spring, it was the wall.
Mm-hmm.
On the forestry part, the Emerald Ash Board, someone asked, we're just not do it. But how much of that $62,000 is for a contractor versus our guys? Our staff.
Sure. what I had estimated was working off of the funds or what we were contracting with this year. So what that number was that I came up with was the number for our contractor to do that work, to do approximately 120 to 130 trees removal. Our staff could do the work on overtime, again, would be slightly less amount of money, but that puts a large burden on our staff if we do that. Or we could, again, try to split that work. You know, some of it in-house, some of it contracted.
But it really doesn't save us.
It's not going to save us that much money. Our staff can do it cheaper than a lot of contractors out there, but there are still some contractors that are very, very competitive with what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, I don't want to push our staff too much, you know, beyond what their normal duties are.
There's a work-life
balance. Especially an operation such as this. It's very dangerous and strenuous and things like that. So,
you took down 4 trees on Ducharme last week. 4 big ones. Was that it must have been a contractor.
Contractor did those, yes.
Great. They were in and out of there one day.
Yeah. Our staff, we've been doing removals, you know, around this area as well as down on the south end. And our staff can do about, on average, they're doing about 7 trees a day.
Wow.
So
they came on our street and did a phenomenal job and had them out of there. Speaking of which, though, what affected our comp rate? Our comp insurance went up. Is it our mod rate went up? Did we have something that affected it?
Modifier.
Why? What happened?
There's quite a few cases, actually.
Do we have any theme on why? And do we need to talk about safety, or is it just one-off stuff that was bad luck?
The insurance committee is doing... The League of Municipalities came out with a program called REMO, which would assist in trying to get people back sooner. So the insurance committee, Julie and I and Andrew are part of, will be listening to their presentation, and it's free.
And new curative rehab will take people on restricted duty and get them back to work sooner. And that helps a lot, too. Plus, it's just not good for people to sit at home. It's not good for their headspace.
We try to bring someone back as absolutely soon as possible.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so it's been medical costs.
The last thing I wanted to touch on is that our capital improvement projects for next year that our Park Rec and Forestry Committee had recommended for approval at our previous meeting. Looking at Green Isle site lighting project at about $10,000. East Lawn Park, a new park sign, which is an annual program that we replace one of those annually, $6,400. Various site furnishings, that's picnic tables and benches, $5,000. Doing some work with the Resch family East River Trail, trying to come up with some solutions that will help us be able to utilize the trail during periods of high water. Whether that is rerouting, some different options, we're going to be looking at that. That's approximately $10,000. And then some outdoor fitness equipment, kind of like a fitness playground, for lack of a better term, about $18,000. That comes out to just shy of $50,000, which we have fund balance in Fund 47 that would cover that.
What about ongoing maintenance?
Excuse me.
To the capital improvements going in, any plan for funding that in future years?
We're getting by.
It's going to come out of levy at some point.
Right, right. At some point we're, we have to carefully look at capital improvements, especially if we're adding new things, how that would affect our staffing levels. And being able to maintain and take care of those type of things. A perfect example is a requested project of putting in, say, a splash pad to the community. Right? It's one of the things that has come up in our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. If we do that, how do you maintain something like that? Because that takes a lot of day-to-day maintenance, not just, So, some of these things we do have to look at and how that might affect our current staff levels. So.
And maintenance budget in years to come.
So we're working right now on putting together the CIP plan, those parks, street, village hall, those sort of things, trying to lay that all out for at least 5 more years, not longer. But then we can look at what our bonding borrowing is going to be based on some of those to come up with a level that is doable.
Chris, do you want to talk about some of the building maintenance projects that you and I are both working on? We should touch base on real quick the repair to the salt storage shed. We have the need to, for some time, we wanted to close the back wall, a self-storage shed. There was a garage door back there that didn't hold up to the weight of the salt. That was originally designed as a drive-through, and under a drive-through building, we just don't have enough storage in there for salt. And we can store, roughly speaking, about 600 tons of salt in there. And we've, for some time, wanted to close that back wall. And the garage door itself was bowed out. And we did try to make a temporary repair that didn't hold up. And, I shouldn't say temporary, but maybe it would be more permanent than hold up. I have since reached out to three engineers and received proposals to together a design, a structural design to fill in that wall. We had originally estimated that the cost to fill that in was about 10, and it may cost 5 or 6 cost 6 or 8 to just to do the engineering, put together the plan and an estimate, and from that we'll be able to determine whether or not we should bid it out or we take on that work in-house. But it will include a footing element, estimating the cost at about $40,000, and there's some funding that Chris had found. That's one project. The other project would be the fuel islands in the back. About a year ago, we had discovered that there's a leak in our containment system below the dispensers, and that containment system is to collect any fuel that may be leaking. We have water getting into the containment system and setting the alarm off, and we've been told that by a contractor that when we do get inspected, they're going to require us to repair, possibly shut that down. And we've since reached, Bob is looking to see if in the event we get inspected, where could we go to purchase fuel in one location would be the quick trip off of the corner of Hoffman and GB. Right. When Bob had talked to a contractor, the cost to make the repairs is $100,000. It's not a cheap repair. It would be something that we wanted to move forward with. It would be something to possibly have to bond for. So
to your point, are you considering shutting that down, that operation down?
Right now, going to quick trip now? Right now, we're going to continue to operate it as is. We go out there when an alarm goes off. We go out there to I believe we take the water out of the containment system and then turn off the alarm.
That doesn't make sense. It doesn't cost us more to go to quick trip.
We don't know that. We're looking into that. I don't know if there would be a difference in fuel cost. I'm sure that we purchased that fuel bulk rate, so to speak. And I'm sure I'd have to follow up with Bob to find out where we're at with that. But that is a potential project.
Right, and I don't know if Sean mentioned it, but with that particular situation, if we were to get inspected and we had to fix it right away, we would shut it down and then utilize off-site fueling for the time period until we could get it fixed and possibly have to bond for it, you know, for that project. So, say they came tomorrow and inspected and said, nope, you got to fix it. We'll shut it down and then go off-site, fuel off-site, you know, until we can get that work done. Right?
Yeah.
I would encourage you to look at shutting it down anyway. And if it's cost effective to go on a quick trip or negotiate a good rate with them or the guys across the street from quick trip.
In terms of that containment system, though, if anything is leaking into the ground, are we setting ourselves up for a potential problem on Webster that we had?
Are we passing
a problem down 30 years from now?
It is water. We do know that. It's not okay. Gas. So.
All right.
The piping from the above-ground storage tank to the fuel islands, it's a double-line pipe. And if the carrier pipe would leak, it would leak into the hose pipe, and then that would leak into the containment system and would. We know that it's just water. We're in condition of.
How does something like this happen? How does that?
The river boots where the piping comes through the containment system, and the river boots wear out. That's
so
my understanding.
Ultimately, it's just
water.
For me. Boots.
It could be. Well, then that's part of the repair. Every so often, you got to repair those. So. In order to get to those boots, you have to remove the concrete above, and that's when it gets expensive.
Is that what they're doing at Quick Trip on Webster right now?
They could be, yeah.
That's a major mess.
It is, and they haven't been there that long.
The one on the corner, mm-hmm. Western Alleyway up there? I think they're making adjustments on how they're going to remove those bullets with their own clinic in there.
Do we want to talk about the public works budget? We can talk a little bit about the paving. I'm proposing to maintain the.
Before we go into public works, anyone have any other questions for Chris on parks?
Let's talk about the paving budget. I'm budgeting for another $500,000 next year. I know that's been a target. I do have a five-year CIP. Did an overhaul for that last year. It's a five-year plan. We've got street maintenance and street reconstruction projects planned out through 2025. And then at President Rafter's request, we have a list of projects on the side, and we have a backlog of projects that we're trying to fit in. And we get calls every week. Saturday, I got a call. Actually, Friday, we got an email from a resident on Park Drive with some pictures of the condition of their road. And we went out today to look at it. How can we temporarily patch this and get buy us some time so that we can get it into the CIP? It's not even in the list off to the side. You got some of these projects we do have in the CIP, some of which are even in the list on the outside, but you've got Mount Park Drive, Breyer, Karen, Carl, Green, and the list goes on. I think we're making headway by getting these. We do our best to get these projects out early. We saw that this year. We had alternates, and we were able to apply. Take on the alternates that we had in the contract. So that's a great sign. And we've seen prices come down a little bit compared to 2019 levels. Any question on the paving or street projects? I want to quickly just run through the budgets at a high level. The engineering budget, we are increasing this budget by roughly speaking about $19,000 to $92,000. This year's budget level was at about $73,000, and that is a renewed effort investment in our GIS mapping system. We want to continue to refine and update that so that with confidence we have a mapping system that reflects what we have out in the field. Talk a little bit about the purchase of a GPS. We're going to use that. We would use that. Staff would go out and actually survey the utilities in the field. We'd bring that data back into the office and upload that into GIS to update our mapping. Another use for that GPS unit would be a survey for street projects. We'll go out and verify quantities. And we're starting to do that right now with our street reconstruction project. We're going out and making measurements for final payments for our projects. We can use it for as-builts. I have reached out to neighboring communities, and Howard has verbally told me that they would like to make that purchase together with us. And we haven't yet. I haven't got anything in writing from them. But when I do, then we could adjust the budget accordingly. So right now we're budgeting for the full cost of that GPS unit at about $30,000.
So that's not in that engineering?
It is. The GIS and GPS effort is being allocated to five accounts, five budgets. Engineering, parts, some inspection, sanitary, water, and storm. 22 of which is being applied to the engineering budget. That is mainly the reason for the increase to this year's budget. Any questions on the engineering budget? If not, I'll jump down to the street department. For the most part, we're maintaining this year's budget levels at $2.4 million. We are increasing that budget amount by about $30,000. As already mentioned, we're seeing a decrease in revenue. The estimated transportation aid funding for next year is at $388,000 compared to $425,000 this year, a $36,000 decrease. Recycling grant, there's no change to that funding level at $98,500. Next year, we're anticipating to get paid for the disposal of recyclables at a payment of roughly $36,000. This year, we had estimated that we would pay to get rid of them. By the end of this year, we're looking to get paid, roughly speaking, $55,000 for disposal of our recyclables, about an $85,000 change, swing, thank you.
Expenditures reflected in the...
It is, yes. Expenditures, due to a mild winter last year, we're going to be purchasing less salt for next fall and the spring of 2023. So we're going to see about a $20,000 decrease to the salt budget for next year. We're going to continue to maintain our funding of our potholes and our crack filling at $50,000 and $25,000 respectively. We had already talked about the paving budget at $500,000. I had proposed to increase the sidewalk repair budget by $10,000 to $20,000 next year. And that's just to address our sidewalk, our existing sidewalk, is definitely aging. And we had somebody in the street department on light duty this spring, and we sent them out and they walked all of the sidewalk, and we've inspected all of it, and we have a lot of walk that needs to be repaired. Now, that could get pulled out of this, and it could be left at $10,000 if they choose. Through discussion with the county, we've elected to, and we talked about on Tuesday evening at the village board meeting, not to, at this time, proceed with the sidewalk work on Webster Avenue between Roselawn and Alloway Avenue. I just had too many concerns about the condition of the utilities to take that on right now. That work has been postponed to 2025. I was hoping to do it in 2023, but it didn't fit in the county's schedule. They suggested 2024. And because of the work we're doing on Lima, we need that as a detour route. That won't work in 2024. So right now it's at 2025. But we had bonded $320,000 for the repair of sidewalk on Webster Avenue. My hope would be to use that money next year and the year after to repair our existing sidewalk. No, I don't know if we can do this or not. I don't know if it's a good idea, but we could take $100,000 of that and apply it to next year's paving budget if you choose. Because street, and I didn't talk to Julie about this, but we could use that sidewalk funding for street improvements as
I think,
well.
I think the language is broad enough in the borrowing to allow for that.
So
the street sidewalk, and it changes the way.
And then, just along those lines, before I forget, can any of the sidewalk repair with it being mapped out, surveyed, whatever the best phrasing is. Is any of that in the TID where we could use TID funds instead of general fund?
I didn't look at it that close. I know that part of the Webster Avenue project was in the TID fund just because of some conversations with Trevor. Now, what we have, to answer your question, no. Because of to my understanding, based on where the TID is located, where the TID is located, it's newer sidewalk that doesn't need an repair.
Got it.
Okay. We already talked about what we should talk about a little bit more. We talked about landfill and MRF charges. We're going to see a $4 increase to our tipping cost to dispose of garbage. And Brown County Solid Waste Department will be here on Tuesday evening to give you a presentation on the renewal of that agreement and the increases that will result because of that, mainly because of the construction of the new landfill in Brown County. That increase, though, is roughly speaking $17,000, will be offset by what we expect to get paid for recyclables. path moving forward in the street department. We're going to have a third leaf sucker truck out this year to pick up leaves. We're hopeful and pretty confident that we can handle the leaves using those three trucks and not have to go out with the baling operation, which is messy, but it takes a lot of our equipment and a lot of our staff to do that. Go ahead.
When you're talking about leaf collection, I thought the goal when going with the leaf sucking trucks were to reduce the cost of leaf collection.
Yeah.
But looking at the budget, it's gone up instead of down.
I caught my eye too, and I haven't had a chance to sit down with Julie on that.
I did not reallocate wages with this budget. Okay. So, because we haven't changed that, I don't know what percentage to throw going forward.
So we're going to, this year and next year we'll have a better idea. We'll hopefully see a savings there.
Well, we've gone from a baling operation, complete baling operation, to two trucks last year.
Yeah, we used both methods last year, right?
We didn't see a decrease last year because of that.
We did go out and bail for about a week and a half, and we did go out with two leaf sucker trucks. I guess as we make the change from bailing to 100% leaf sucker trucks, all indicators we believe there's a cost saving there because it's fewer employees and it's less equipment.
How much do we spend on leaf sucking trucks?
We've been purchasing the trucks for about $25,000. The sucker, the ODB unit, another $53,000. And this one, of course, we're looking about $90,000 truck.
So we will have invested like $270,000 in this equipment?
Yes.
Will we be able to see how much it's saving us in time for a 23 budget?
We should. I hope so.
This will be the first year with a three truck, and you can look back to the last several years.
And, there are other reasons why we're making that change. The baling operation it's messy. We're pulling all of the leaves into the roller where we don't want them, where they get into their storm sewer system. And then we drag them down the road and we get them into a baler. We're grinding them up on the road and then we have to follow behind with the street sweeper to clean up the mess. The change was made to improve stormwater quality as well and to remove those organics from our roadway and from our storm sewer, prevent them from getting into our waterways where it causes issues with water quality. So there's other benefits as well. And I think with exception of Green Bay, all of the other communities have made a change to leaf sucker trucks. The pier has six. We're going to have three. Ashwaubenon goes out and has sucker trucks. Howard does as well. So I hope to see a cost savings there.
So people know they have to dice up their garden waste so it can be sucked up by the truck. And they didn't used to have to do that.
And we're curious to help us. I don't know if we've got anything out yet, but the message to the residents is keep the leaf pile behind the back of the curb on the terrace. Don't drag that into the street. We don't want it in the street. Can we get something else? I know we're working on it. But we've talked with Trevor, we've talked with Mike about moving forward, how we want to enforce that. And there's going to be somewhat of a learning curve with this. So.
Yeah, you may want to include a thing in there too, though, that you need to dice up all your garden waste so it can be sucked up by the leaf sucker truck, because we used to pick up all garden waste in fall. So, if somebody sticks a whole basil plant there,
what we do,
chop it up so it can be sucked up.
We get what we can with the leaf sucker, and then the operator makes note of any yard waste left behind, then we take out the one-ton truck with two operators, and we just pitchfork it into the back of the truck and haul it out of the ground. Or to where we dispose of it, a farmer. Any more questions to the street department? Sewer, sanitary sewer fund. We will be, we're currently undertaking a rate case to look at our rate and the revenue being generated. And Julie's been working on that. And more information on that will come out in the future. We're forecasting an operating expense of $2.68 million, about $120,000 increase compared to this year, and that's mainly because of the increase we're seeing to the cost of treaters wastewater. Mm-hmm. Looking at about $100,000 increase, about 4.6%. Tom was here.
That we have zero control over.
Right. Included in that increase is the allocation of the GIS and GPS effort, and a $10,000 increase to our sanitary sewer repair budget from $50,000 to $60,000. We've had a number of sinkholes developed throughout the village. A large majority of those are storm sewer related, but some are sanitary sewer. So to keep up with that, I don't know how many we're going to get next year. We had just recently, and it will be talked about on Tuesday, to use ARPA funding to go out and take care of what we currently have. We have, I don't know how many we had on that list, about 20 that we need for, plus or minus. But I, you know, the trend has been every year we see an abundance of these. So.
And you're guessing $2,000 to $3,000 per.
It varies depending on whether it's a manhole or an inlet, or if it's a return to a pipe. It's in your village board packet. There's a spreadsheet that's all laid out in the village board packet. Water department. We're currently undertaking a rate case for this utility as well. For Julie, Jenny have been working on this just recently, last week, Tuesday. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Public hearing.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And now there's a comment period that closes in the near future, and at some point I'm sure you will provide more information on that.
It actually closed on the 14th, I believe, and I just got notification this afternoon that the rates are available.
Awesome. And correct me if I'm wrong, we're looking to, with being proposed, we're looking to capturing an additional $300,000 in revenue. Is that plus or minus?
Close. Yeah, we're a little on the minus side there. But.
And if you look at an average water bill, you're looking at about a $3 to $4 increase per month. Operating expenditures. Right now, we're looking at a $32,000 increase to the water utility budget. It's a small change.
Does that include salaries and wages and benefits?
Yeah. Nick Sparacio was here from the Central Mount County Water Authority. We're going to see a decrease in the cost to purchase raw water. Roughly speaking, about a $40,000 decrease. The cost to purchase per 1,000 gallons will go from $4.97 to $4.86. That's a positive. We're looking to allocate again the GIS and GPS effort, for roughly speaking, about $13,000 to the water utility. We're going to see a slight decrease in the maintenance of our fire hydrants. Yearly basis, we've been spending $20,000 to sandblast and paint. That's going to go down to $10,000 next year, just because we've gone through the entire village now. And it's the one I know, it's what, every 5 to 10 years we're going to go. In 5 years from now, we're going to start this process again. I had increased the professional services budget in the water utility by 15,000 to a total of 33,500, and that 15,000 is to work with McMahon to better understand how best to serve the village with emergency water supply, whether we get that from Green Bay or we continue to maintain the two wells that we have for emergency purposes. We'll be working through that, but then hopefully have a better idea of how to proceed in the future. Any questions on water utility? Stormwater utility fund. This is a utility that we next year we need to take a look at our rate. And at some point, Julie will be looking at that. We're looking at, roughly speaking, about a $45,000 increase to this budget compared to this year's funding model. Some of the highlights things here. Again, the allocation of about $13,000 to renovate and update our GIS mapping system. Looking to increase the televised budget to $10,000 to be proactive with the assessment of the condition of our storm sewer. On a yearly basis, as we begin to scope our repair projects, street repair projects, for those streets that we're going to rehabilitate, we want to look at the condition of the storm sewer to make sure that any repairs that need to get done before we do the paving. And then an increase to the storm sewer repair budget from $50,000 to $75,000, and that's just to take on who knows how many sinkholes we're going to have next year to keep up with that. Any questions of the stormwater utility? That's about all I have. We do have some funded projects next year. We can quickly go through that. We just a reminder that we have a Doty Safe Route to School project that will start next year to add, roughly speaking, about 1 mile in length of sidewalk on East River Drive and Longview. We've just recently... we'll talk about a Tuesday open bids for televising contract on Webster Avenue. Yet this fall, early winter, we're going to be looking at the condition of the utilities on Webster Avenue. And that may result in some projects. And Brad, you may have already mentioned that we're going to start to put together a list of ARPA projects, and that may be one.
Get too fancy with ARPA. I think we hit. I mean, we spend it on.
That's good. I had a thought about the money that we bonded for the sidewalk repair and replacement. Okay. So I don't know how much of, with not going through the entire project, how much of that is about $325,000?
$320 for sidewalk on Webster.
$320.
Now they're postponed for 2025, which we could borrow for at that point.
So we've borrowed for this, and I don't know, obviously we want to do some sidewalk repair next year. I had two different thoughts. One is, Julie mentioned early on, $130,000 is what we would need to figure out how to either get more revenue or less expenses in order to allow ourselves to get the expenditure restraint of about $90,000. And I don't know how possible this is, but I'm just throwing it out there. If we used 130 of the 320 for streets, and so instead of 500 in the general fund for 2022, we have 370, that theoretically could allow us to get to the expenditure restraint. However, does that then just, for lack of better words, cause us to be kicking the can, and we're going to have to account for $130,000 in 2023, just like we're accounting, trying to figure out how to account for $200,000 because of the community center or the sales stadium tax, so on and so forth. We might be just kicking the can down the road. Keep going with that. Flip it the other direction, and if we're seeing more and more instances of things that we need to repair, not necessarily replace, what if we take 100, 130, whatever the appropriate figure is of the $320,000, let's just say it's $100,000, and actually allocate $600,000 to the 2022 budget, or just allow for $600,000 of road repairs in 2022?
That you can do.
Because we know that's something that's very important to the residents. We know it needs to get done. That might be better to do, is just have a slight tick up from 500 to 600,000, another 16% of roads we can do some repair on. If we're already we've already bonded for the money. It's there. We need to pay it back. So let's figure out the best use for it. I don't know.
Could we also, if we're planning to pay $500,000 to maintain the roads, can we apply the $300,000 and not increase the levy?
We're talking bond dollars. We need to spend those bond dollars on
streets.
Streets.
Right. So
or
instead of
sidewalks.
Instead of spending $500,000 charging our taxpayers $500,000 in taxes this year, if we took the $300,000 that we've already bonded for the sidewalks and applied that to the street maintenance as opposed to.
I could push $300,000 of street maintenance over to where the bonding is going to occur, but that leaves us
$300,000.
Yeah.
For 2023's budget, then, in order to have $500,000 of regular road repairs like we do annually, we would have to push things up by $300,000 from 22 to 23. So we would be, again, I don't know how else to phrase it other than we'd be just kicking the can a year down the road. It might make more sense to keep where we're at and just repair more roads if we have the manpower and contractor time and ability to do it.
Yeah, we definitely do make a lot of people happy. I know that every week we get a phone call. When are you going to address my street? And then I put a note on the side of the CIP at another street. We do desperately need to address the existing condition of the sidewalk. And if you could give me 150 of that 320, we can put together a sizable project and let that out and address a lot of the repairs that are needed.
For sidewalks or streets?
Sidewalk.
I was talking about streets.
I
don't know how much. Here's where I'm at. Is of the 320, I don't know how much is needed or would be best served by streets as opposed to sidewalk repair. If we make that high-level decision today, maybe by the end of November, Sean has a plan for what to do with the 320, knowing that it wouldn't change anything on the general levy and our plans for the 2022 budget. It's where are we going to spend that ballpark $320,000.
We have, and I can't give you that answer sooner than we think, because we do have a spreadsheet that by address lists every concrete square in the village that needs to be removed and replaced because of a crack or a tripping hazard. I could quickly come up with the cost and let you know what that.
I don't know if anybody else thinks it's a bad idea.
What else would you do with the streets? It's got to go to street. It's got to be streets or something.
I would apply it to sidewalk and street. I guess I want to first find out what the cost is to repair the sidewalk that needs to be repaired.
It's not saving any money on the budget. It's just allocating.
Correct. If we pull anything down, we just got to replace it in 23.
If we give you that, what do you give them?
The salad.
How about $200,000? Does a $200,000 purchase for a piece of equipment
That doesn't come off the levy.
It doesn't, but we charge for, when that equipment is used, we're charging for it and accumulating the funds in the equipment replacement fund.
So
that's where Sean said
building replacement fund.
Exactly. We backed off on the charges a little bit. Prior years, soccer fields, some other things were purchased from that fund. So that's where I thought we could back off on charges a bit, but this equipment's not getting any cheaper. So we really need to kind of sit down and study that.
Do you need that $200,000 this year?
Next year we do need to purchase a backtrack. And we the backtrack that we have is at the end of its service life, and it means we need to take action and take the steps to get that replaced. And it could take over a year to get it. Get one, and again, it's critical. We're required by the DNR to go out and clean so much sanitary sewer every year, and that requirement is a third of our system, and we have to stay on top of that. And if we don't, then we'll be backups. And then because of the result of that, we'll be basement backups, and there'll be phone calls, and we have to have reliable equipment. Be able to go out and do that, and then to respond to a call. And when we get a call of a basement backup, we go out, we look at the mainline sanitary sewer, make sure that it's flowing. There were a couple times this year where we went out and found a plug, and we had to jet that pipe.
So that's not a piece of equipment we could share with another municipality.
No.
So we've all asked that question.
Yeah. No, I'm really hesitant. I know it's come up. I'm really hesitant to share that with the other departments. It's so critical what we do that when we get a call, we need to know that that thing is operating. It's ready to go and we can respond. If you had a basement full of wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So right now what we have about... A little over $1 million in that fund. Now we expend $700,000 a year, roughly.
Going forward, that's what we're looking at, and that it's going to be too much.
Right. So we need to. The village used to bond for pickup trucks and all this stuff that doesn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created this account, Julie created this account, in an effort to avoid that bonding issue. But at what's presented, I'm not trying to point fingers or anything, but what was presented we can't afford, because we're going to deplete that fund. And then we're going to be in a position where we're going to have to either bond for it, which we don't want to do, where you go a few years till you build it back up. So we're trying to find that balance point in there. What can we buy to maintain that account? And if we look at the charges for 2023, maybe that's when some additional changes to that account to help build that up. We got to be careful. We don't want to get ourselves in a position where we deplete that to a point where we're looking at ending the bond for something.
And with the challenges we've had with staffing, you don't need to have staffing issues and then have equipment problems as well. It'd be extremely hard to provide the services that we provide.
So we're working on that.
But I know of one purchase that we can defer, not the back truck, but the plow truck that we tentatively plan for next year. We can defer that. I talked to Jim and Bob both. And I know Chris. We're going to be meeting tomorrow to talk about it. So Brad, Bob, and Jim.
So as of now, this budget as presented, we've got pretty much buy-in from all department heads, right? In terms of really paring down any kind of a wish list, if you even want to call it that, to pretty much bare bones. And while I appreciate the discussion about how we can push it off or how we can do this and slip, blah, 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 I think selling this increase would be fairly palatable this time around, given the police and fire are big charge of that. Our need to pay our employees to keep them needs to be a part of that discussion. If the county rate comes in a little bit less, the net for an hourly resident is a little less than this. I think it's a pretty good budget.
Well, we're also paying off as all our bonding.
Right.
I mean, every street that we do a total reconstruction that affects so many different budgets, which affects water rates, sewer rates, everything. And in order to maintain that, and that's why we want to make sure that we're putting this plan out, that the village can maintain it without these big peaks and valleys in debt payment. That's tough.
Right.
And you can look at a street where we use LIBOR. Luckily, we've got that in the grant, but it's a $5.5 million project. Just crazy because it's a pretty good section, but it's not the entire roadway.
Right.
Trevor?
Yeah, I can go through a couple items. Really, I'm trying to keep everything about the same. There were a couple increases that Julie noted already in the summary sheet. The one is under the 1012 fund, zoning and planning. We're required every 10 years to update our comprehensive plan. And our original comprehensive plan was written in 2003. And I believe at that time we received a grant to do the work because of the state planning law that was enacted around that time. We then updated in 2013 and 2015. Both were in-house updates. Both were really just kind of pretty generic updates. So now that we're about 20 years out from the original drafting of the plan, we've been discussing the plan commission, and it would be a good time to completely rewrite the plan and kind of start fresh, keep some of the existing principles in there, but update and have a lot of public input. So we've discussed with Plan Commission what the best route to go. Private consultant, it wouldn't be unreasonable to see around $60,000 to $80,000 for a private consultant to do the work. We discussed at Plan Commission that we think the best route to go is Brown County Planning. They quoted us around $25,000 to $25,000 to do the work, and so we're spreading that out over 2 years. Now we could defer the cost to 2023 budget and have all of the budget amount in that 1 year, but this way we could kind of save some costs. It is about a 12-month project.
Are the Brown County people able to take off the Brown County hat and put on an Alloway hat for that? Or have they still got the overriding county interest at heart?
I think they could take the... it might be challenging to go the other way because the planning director now lives in Alloway.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
I'm on the planning commission, and they have handled those periodically, but they don't go into a ton of detail during the meetings on them. But there, you can tell that the majority interest is them working for the municipality. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to guide decisions. They're there to help things along. They have the expertise in putting the document together, but they don't know the municipality as well as the people in the municipality. And I agree with Trevor's comment about the planning director. Yeah.
Is there an opportunity to get a grant?
Unlikely. We could apply for some block grant funding, but
I know in the past when I researched that, it's challenging for us because none of our census tracts meet the income thresholds needed to be competitive with those grants. It is something we can look into.
Our income levels don't meet the thresholds? Maybe higher level?
Higher. We're higher. Our median income's in, I think the last I checked, was around $68,000. For comparison, the peer is in the 50s and City of Green Bay is in the 40s. So they have those low-income census tracts that, you know, for a lot of projects, they score a lot better and a lot more competitive. But those slot grants are national or state.
So I ask.
So it's grants like that where having a higher median income is actually a hindrance for us. But any questions on that?
Sorry. Are you going to get to the TIF budget?
I will.
Okay.
Yes. The next one was code enforcement. So we're looking at Michael will be retiring at the end of this year, and we're looking at that position. Part of that position for efficiencies, because that position is not here 5 days a week, there is quite a bit of, in my opinion, wasted time between just trying to catch people up, phone calls from residents, and we're not really sure where we're at with compliance issues because everything is kept in a notebook, and that's really...
Whatever happened to the software we purchased for that?
I tried emailing the company. I didn't get a response from them. That was in 2012 we purchased that.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the budget amount was for that. For this software, it would be around $1,500 one-time fee purchase, $1,000 training, and then moving forward will be about a $4,500 annual maintenance.
How do we make sure what happens with this isn't what happens with that?
I won't let that happen.
Okay, good.
what I see huge benefit to this is tracking. It's
mm-hmm.
huge. Right now, it's really challenging for Mike to sort through his own notes, and it's not a, I'm not trying to knock Mike, but to see if he wrote someone on long grass at the beginning of summer and now he's writing again, he knows that address is familiar, but then he has to come through all his notes and try to find it.
We don't keep copies of those letters.
We do. But
there's not a file structure that says ABC Brookridge Street. Oh my goodness!
Mike is only here. This position is only budgeted for 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And so what might happen is Mike might be in the summer Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is what he usually works in the summer. He might cite someone on Thursday. We did a call on, Monday, and we're not sure how to follow up because we don't know his process or the records. This would give anyone up front the ability to just type in the address. They'll have a picture, have some staff comments. The new individual, actually Mike was really excited about the software, and that's one of the reasons why I was excited about it too. I'm still excited about it, but I think that this new individual will be a great opportunity because we'll start fresh with the software, and this is what we'll be using going forward. If I'm out in the street and I see something, I can take a picture of it, and it'll create a ticket. So the new code enforcement officer, like a, not a ticket, like a fine ticket, but like a
work order.
Work order, thank you. And the code enforcement officer will be able to see it. If he's off that day, when he gets in, he'll be able to follow up right away. He'll have a picture of it. Anyone up front, they get a call, oh, why was I tagged, or my brush wasn't, was actually in the correct location, there would be a picture there. They could say, actually, your brush is next to the light utility pole or something like that, and that's why. So it would just be an improvement in efficiency of staff time.
We're not still paying for the other software on a license subscription basis.
Okay.
No, and yet, like I said, I don't know why that didn't work out. I believe Mark Roberts would have been the code enforcement officer at the time. And but the other thing, too, is longevity of records, too, for year to year. Past three positions have been filled by retired individuals, and with that, you only have a certain window before they retire again. And so, you know, with every couple of years, you have a changeover in this position, you have someone taking notes a different way, filing something differently, all their contacts are lost. So it's really challenging in that way.
Why are the contacts lost?
Well, they're lost in the sense that they're kept in their little phone books, and they have their own filing system.
You don't have a cell phone for that position? Mm-hmm. That goes with the next one?
Like landlords and those sort of contacts, those aren't kept in a cell phone.
Okay. So all that would be in our software that's going to be maintained?
Yes.
Sweet.
Trevor, that's the same software that the building inspector uses.
Yes. Right? Yeah, so we did shop around. And
Kevin likes it?
If Kevin wasn't so sold on MyGov, I think we would have looked at more. Although we did look at others, and MyGov was still the most economical.
Okay.
Kevin's actually sold MyGov to a lot of neighboring municipalities, so he really likes it. And so this would sync
with that.
With that.
Wonderful.
So if Kevin's doing an inspection, he notices that this is a kind of a problem house or this is all. And if there's been some confrontation in the past, that would be flagged. We do have an Excel sheet that we received from Brown County of any potential conflict homes. But that's just an Excel sheet. This you could have right up on the tablet, and so you're driving around, you notice something, you could type in the address, you'll see all the past history, but then you also see a red flag saying that this is a home that you may have a confrontational individual with. So just help us with safety.
I'm a police officer when you go there.
Okay, what else?
Oh, wait a minute, we didn't get the tip yet. Don't be looking at anybody else. I have 10 questions.
All right, so the last one, I think the overall increase, the first item that Julie has highlighted, I believe that partially might be change from spouse benefits to family benefits for myself. And then
so
the...
What page are we looking at? Summary.
Yeah, but it'd be on page 45. Yeah. And then the Bay Lake Regional Planning Commission membership dues. So this the timing is critical for this for two big reasons. One, there is a lot of federal grant money out there right now, like a lot. We just don't have the staff time to apply for it all. And even some of the COVID-related funding sources, they don't have the typical requirements that you would usually see with other similar grants, matching requirements. Mm-hmm. Some of them are waived. Some of the criteria for the application submittals are less. The big reason why I'm suggesting becoming a member of Bay Lakes is really to take advantage of some of these grants in the near-term future. This might not always stay in the budget, but for the next couple of years while this funding's out there, I would suggest us being a member of Bay Lake Regional.
What services do they provide for that?
The big one is they would assist in grant applications and grant management. So they, for example, their services for a grant, I think the city of Pier was applying for. The city of Pier was going to hire a private engineering firm to write and submit the grant application for them. And the estimate came in at $24,000. Bay Lakes was able to do the same grant application and was successful at $3,400. So a huge savings, but then they were also able to receive that grant as well.
How many grants are we looking to apply for in the next 12 months?
Quite a few. I know one off the top of my head is the PAC grant. Apply for the next grant cycle for that. But even the CDI grant, they would likely apply for Western St. Joseph. Whereas that was the same grant that we were fortunate and got for the Zambaldi project. So that's $250,000. They would be able to assist us with that grant application as well. Those are just two right off the top of my head.
And there's some EDC grants that she talked about, right?
Yeah.
I know Chris has there's grant opportunities for parks and recreation projects as well, and even some public works potential projects. And looking at that fee, we feel that we could easily, with grants that we could obtain, easily cover that fee, $7,200 annually. You know, just by having them assist us and administer those grants for various projects.
No, I don't have anything. I don't want to hear them take $100,000 out of the budget.
We didn't get to the tip budget yet. Oh, I'm sorry, still waiting.
Oh, I thought that was part of the...
No, nice try, Trevor. 45, I believe, is the detail.
What,
yeah, 45.
45.
Okay. Do you have specific questions, Lynn?
I do, and my only one is I'm noticing a bigger deficit through here, and I'm not noticing anything going back into, like, public works for infrastructure in that area. When are we going to get to the point we can do some of that? Do we know? Do we have a bead on that?
Julie, do you want to answer the question, like, specifically regarding the St. Joseph project?
We did do the St. Joseph project out of there.
Okay.
I think the only other one I've got on the radar is what's that one out there.
That's got a placeholder of $5 million.
It does. All right. I'm just not seeing that here,
no,
so that's why I was like, okay, where's this money going?
Yep.
Okay. So that is going to be earmarked. Okay. Public that public answers my public works question.
Do I?
Placeholder for Webster.
For Webster.
Because we've got a huge Webster. That's going to be a massive reconstruction. I have a feeling it's headed that route. Okay, so that was my only thing, was
okay.
I just didn't see it here. So
okay.
It's like, where's this money going, and what's the public getting out of us administering it to? So, thank you.
Yeah.
What's the negative 139 for 2022 budget for surplus deficit?
Right at the bottom of the page. That was the number that caught my eye that made me ask the public works question.
It's the two budgets comparing, and it, yeah, it's the net between the two. So 139 negative for 2022 and 2021 was 114 positive. So,
right, what does that mean?
Revenues are under expenditures. When you look at,
we're in the hole.
Yeah. Total expenditures of $871,000 in the shaded area.
Yeah.
Versus the revenues of $732,000. So that's a 139 negative, and that's comparing to a 114 positive. So it's going to the negative.
Are we concerned about that?
Not so much, because this is building fund balance, and the only revenue we have coming in is the RV increments. So it's building over time.
So you don't see it. You don't see the deficit
in
growing.
That one year.
It's more of an anomaly than anything.
And the amount we spent was by helping developments. Like that 871, what do we anticipate spending?
Well, like that 500,000, it will go towards the corner.
500,000.
Yep. Part of the
that will go towards part of Webster.
Then it's just, you know, it's wages and fringes. We've got 50,000 in there for professional services, which goes to attorneys or engineering or anything like that. Mainly, these are mainly, they're not real exact. It's just a set of budget, basically, for this fund, because we don't really know until we get into the finance.
And my thing was, there just needs to be some return to the taxpayer of some of that going to the public infrastructure. We have such issues on that Webster one.
Yeah, overall health of the TIF district is very positive.
Say Sean can wipe that out. Yes. Not you, Sean. Just your line of work.
Do you have thoughts? Questions?
I just wanted to throw out the other thing that we looked at with the Finance and Personnel Committee in terms of wage increases for staff. We were talking about different percentages of what to look at for the budget. We decided on recommending 3% of an increase for a handful of reasons. At that point, we were looking at what other municipalities are doing. Spit it out. And everything we had heard to that point was about 3%. I've seen that the county is doing 2.5%. We've got Social Security at about 5.9%. And we know that the CPI associated with possible expenditure restraint is 3%. We also know that last year we asked staff to, in essence, offset the increase in the insurance premium with the 2% that they gave. It wasn't an exact match person to person, but in a sense, net income for staff was flat for 21. All those things together were back and forth between 2% and 3%, and if you look at an extra percent costing the changing the budget by about $26,000-$27,000.
In total, all funds, all first, or just the general fund, it's like 15.
Then that's part of the conclusion, or coming to the conclusion of looking to put 3% in for wages. We want to make sure that we're doing our best to keep up with other municipalities, make sure we're being fair to staff for the work that they're putting in. And that's where 3% came from, just in case there's a question on that.
Does everybody also get what their whole benefits package is worth? Because the health insurance is just flipping huge, and it needs to be realized that is part of the benefit package.
If I may come back to our insurance committee and having Forsyth mm-hmm. come in, they're seeing the trend go from the employee paying 50% to the employee paying 30, 20, 10, or less, because he can't get people to come in. He can't fill those positions. So when the trend used to be
down, yeah,
going the other way, now it's going back up.
But we're at 90.
Yeah.
with a high deductible. Insurance comparables to from what Village of Alloway offers, overall cost compared to the other communities, were all pretty much the same.
Okay.
You just do a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my final comment on the budget is, you know, none of us want to raise taxes at all. We're at a point where resetting that baseline is probably in the best interest. Granted, it's up to the board. Of course, tonight is a workshop, and the hearing's not until November 16th, but trying to establish that and have a good sense of where we need to be and where we need to go to maintain the services. And that's the other thing that we'll be looking at, is our services in general. Can there be some tweaks through the continuous improvement group that, you know, are you picking balls 90 or 9 months out of the year, or is it six, or is it four? Those are some of the things that we'll be looking at.
Yeah, but then what are those staff members doing if they're not picking bulk? I mean,
that's where we take in to consideration of doing more street work ourselves versus contracting for those services out, assisting other departments, because it frees up some additional time, and it also cuts down on the tipping fees that we are charged. When you're doing that 9 months out of the year, it adds up.
I was just going to say, part of it is the what we're looking at in the near future is the turnover of staff, too.
Yeah.
You know, so are you replacing or are you kind of keeping the services at different rates?
How many retirements do we have pending for this year? Okay, how many are of age that they could go? Yeah, but how many could?
Over the next 3 to 5 years, probably six.
Okay.
How many should? It's a legitimate question.
Can I?
Sure, you can. I'm guessing you're not going to get
along with
this. You're
wrong. My wife probably wouldn't let me.
So,
you know, I think it goes with anything else. I think it's a good budget. I think you have to have increases if you're going to maintain the services that you provide. Yeah.
And people like the services.
Yeah. As far, and we all receive pretty good services in the Village of Alloway. So, but yeah, you know, employee wages, insurance, it's huge. We all feel that pain. You know, sometimes I feel like that's all I work for is insurance. You know, but it's the necessary evil. Yeah, but. You know, when you look at employees, you got to look at accountability too. Yeah, I mean, I've brought it up before. You know, in different circumstances, that there's people skating. You know, that has to be looked at.
What if we dropped in terms of FTEs in the last 5 years? We've probably lost 3 or 4 that we haven't. I know we've had some people retire and we've replaced, but others we've retired and not replaced. I think we're probably down.
I would say you got to go back more about 10 to 12 years.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
but we're not adding to staff, that's for sure.
No. The last retirement from the water department, we did not replace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every position is reevaluated every single time.
Using ARPA, we can't use ARPA funds to reduce the levy.
You can provide tax relief.
But that's a one-time thing where you're kicking it then. So So we look at that as the ARPA funds should help us prevent against borrowing in the future.
Exactly.
Take care.
That's where I probably put those in things.
And we can double those up with grants that we can work with the Bay Lake Regional Planning Commission on.
What do you mean by that?
If we use the ARPA funds as a grant match on a project, so we can double, potentially double that amount of money that we're receiving for ARPA funds. If it's a 50-50 grant, for instance.
Okay. That seems like the most efficient use of those funds.
Yeah, the discussion we've had internally is what's the best use of the funds to help the taxpayer? Mm-hmm. And if it's, you know, going back to our water rates, the water rates are what they are because we have a lot of debt service. If we can avoid that for a year or two, it just helps offset.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know we have an expensive public works project coming up in 25 or 28, which we'll talk about tomorrow night, but that's a big one. Okay. Any other comments, thoughts? Sarah, you enjoying your first budget?
So good. The eyes are open anyway.
You were in the sale.
Well, I will say to staff, you continue to do a great job. No one likes to see increases, but I'm concerned that we're going to continue to see increases. Our police contract goes up again next year, right?
2.5.
And up the year after. Our fire contract goes up?
Yep.
It's been going up on average about 2 to 2.5.
So, I don't know, I'd say let the Emerald Ash Borers eat the trees.
The problem is them falling on things.
Well, if we could keep it down to, if we just deal with, if you could reduce that a little bit, I don't know if it's going to make a whole heck of a lot of difference, but county treasurer, you know, county rates going down, I'm not complaining about the county at all. But the county rate's going down in part because they continue to push services, responsibilities down to the local municipalities, as is the state, right? So someone's got to pay for these services, and we're the last line of defense to bill for those services.
Well, there's one thing we didn't talk about. We got the details of the police budget, and I do have two questions on that one.
Go for it.
With the sergeants, we're charged 68% of an officer. Are they spending some of that time in the village?
The sergeants?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Okay.
That's primarily investigative.
That's investigative.
Oh, no, that's billed differently.
The sergeants?
Is it under the
patrol supervision is 68% of an officer.
Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah.
Okay, and then they said estimated hourly amount for training, and they didn't use 2020 because it wasn't a typical year. So what happened to the cost savings in 2020? Is that passed back to any of the municipalities, or did it just get, yeah, that's what I thought. So
what do you think?
Could you ask them?
We asked for a piece of the ARPA funding, too, if any of that was allocated.
Good, because
we did with the fire, too. But
it's like if they didn't spend it and they're not going to use it in our calculation, that should come back to, well, not only our municipality, but any others that they were billing for that as well. That's only fair, because the taxpayers are putting that, then don't get me started on double dipping. But, so, I don't know, could we pose those questions to them and get some, at least, explanations?
Can you ask me?
They had cost savings in 2020 because they didn't spend their whole education budget, so they didn't use it for estimating hourly amount of training for the next cycle coming up. So if they're not using that year because it was a nice and low year to calculate ours, do we get part of that savings back? I know the answer to that is no. So I know I'm asking a theoretical question, but it's the principle of the thing. So they're going to continue to charge us higher rates when they had cost savings in their year and their budget, but they're not passing that back to the people who contract with them. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So And then just the patrol supervision, we've got 68% of an officer at the 76th. Well, I did this. So the patrol sergeant cost per FTE is $121,288, and they're charging us $76,683, which is 68% of an officer. So I guess I just don't know if that person spent time in our village. Do they do time in court, or, you know, how does that work? So
I don't know the exact amount.
Yeah, so if we could just pose those questions. And but the education budget one really bugs me, because it's like, if they're not going to use that in a year to calculate ours.
I think all those personnel allotments have to do with the number of calls that they have.
That one's not. That says it's based on hourly. As I'm reading this, and I could be reading it wrong.
Yeah, I think they allocate that out over all the municipalities, because any one of them is available to come and provide a service
anytime.
In an LOA at any time. Yeah.
They're just allocating supervisory costs based on...
Well, I completely get it. I just want to know what we're getting for our money. So
I may not have an answer by tomorrow. Yeah.
That's okay.
Peace of mind.
I think we're getting pretty.
We're paying a lot for peace of mind, so.
Oh, yeah.
And but that education one, yeah. So I want to know what happened in their budget to the money that they saved. Where did that go?
COVID got it.
Who got it?
COVID.
COVID got it. It went somewhere. It didn't just evaporate.
Or it'll come back as your increase next year is less because.
No, they didn't do that. This contract has the same increases. There was no. Yeah.
Do any of the staff have any questions for us?
Yeah. Thank you for entertaining my tip question.
Oh, no. That would be so funny.
This is where we'll proceed then to the hearing?
Yes.
This version
proceed
of the budget?
This way to the hearing.
Yeah.
Objections here? Yeah. I think we've done an excellent job in years past in holding costs and filling holes. But like you said, we can't continue to do that. And we've had opportunity to do that. If we do that now and continue that, it's not that we didn't kick it down the road. We're filling holes available to us at the time. Yes. And we just have to prevent against having that snowball. And the reassessment allowed us in part to do that. I don't like having taxes go up, water go up, sewer go up. Everything's going up, but we are in, an environment where costs are going up, and we're not immune to that. Do our police and fire contracts always come due at the same time?
Our fire contract doesn't come due till 8 years or so. This is just our annual.
So every year it's going to go up by this point?
Roughly.
It's a bit more than it is the percentage. You're adding on to what you've had before. So it'll be a couple $1,000s more next year.
Police contracts, 3-year contract.
That one won't be going up as much in 23 and 24 as it is in 22. It's front-loaded dollar-wise, but we looked at it both ways in terms of evening it out or front-loading it. In a way, it was a wash, and that's how it was presented to us, so we didn't think we're actually coming out a few hundred dollars ahead in this, the way it's set up.
Okay. Anything else on the budget?
I just wanted to, in terms of sitting in on the Finance Personnel Committee, seeing all the work that staff has done to pull everything together, pay tons of attention to detail, take it to the department heads, take it to Julie, who has spent more than one weekend here, pulling everything together, summarizing it for us, just seeing those large dollar amounts, because that's where we can focus our attention. We know you guys are looking at things that are $100, with the detail we can see those, but identifying those larger items, all of that, I think, makes it easier for us as a board to review things. So as with so many different things that come up with regular meetings, you guys, in my opinion, make it easier for the board. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Lots of questions.
Agreed. Okie doke, any announcements?
We will not have a budget workshop on Wednesday.
We will not have a budget workshop on Wednesday.
That's the announcement.
Oh, shoot.
Item number five, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Deutsch. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I thank you, one and all. Have a good night.